Welcome to the 100% Financed Podcast, home of entrepreneurs, business owners, and real estate investors everywhere. 100PF is not just an online business, it's a culture, helping you make more money while maintaining pretty credit. If you're looking for great content on credit repair, business credit, creative financing, motivation, and online business, then you found the right podcast. Listen up as Juan Pablo, the People's Mentor, presents another great podcast episode for your listening pleasure. Juan Pablo, give these beautiful people the tools they need to succeed.
Hey, what's up, guys? This is me, Juan Pablo, from the 100% Finance Podcast. Welcome, welcome, welcome. We got a great episode for you guys today. Thank you guys so much, first and foremost, for always listening, consistently getting that information. So speaking of consistency and providing you with sufficient information, that brings into our topic, how to run and operate a self-sufficient business. We understand there's a lot of startups out there, entrepreneurs, beginning real estate investors. You may be a novice in your field, and you don't know how to start a business and make it self-sufficient without it demanding your physical presence. So we have a special guest on the show to teach you guys, ladies and gents, on how you can do so. So welcome, Latoya Rose. How are you?
I am doing amazing. Thank you for having me.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate your time. I know you're a busy person. You have many businesses that you run and operate, so I appreciate you carving out the time to be a guest on our podcast.
Oh, most definitely. And honestly, this is a great topic because at this point in my business, I'm really just kind of coasting. I kind of wake up and everything is pretty much done with me, so done for the business, so I can just kind of go about my day. So this will be perfect topic for me.
Okay, perfect. Let's dive into it. So speaking about business, can you tell us about your businesses, plural, and your lifestyle?
Sure. So I have about 5 different businesses that serve entrepreneurs as well as families. So first and foremost, I'm on a mission to promote global economic justice. And really what that looks like is helping people to not only discover and get clear on what their genius is, but to also monetize upon that, helping them with their mindset of understanding that what they have to offer, that they can make money off of it, as well as to helping them with creating other wealth-generating activities and streams of income so that they can start to create generational wealth. So one business we have is APB Publishing House, in which we help people with self-publishing their stories as well as branding and marketing themselves by utilizing that book to be a speaker and to really increase their stream. So that's with APB. We also have RCEM. RCEM is our consulting and entertainment management division, and it is designed to help those who are in the entertainment business to build their teams as well as understand the business side of being an entertainer. No matter if they're an artist, producer, or even a manager, we want to help them really succeed and not go bankrupt, you know, like some of the earlier groups and artists and entertainers in our past. We also, with RCEM, we work with small businesses to do some proposal writings as it relates to government contracting, and as well as just, again, you don't want to chase invoices. So a lot of small businesses, they have something to serve their local or even federal government, so we help them with that. Then you have LR International, and that's actually my personal brand, and I separated it from everyone else because, honestly, like, I am it. And because, you know, I need to get my nails done and all of that, it becomes a whole tax deduction. So I just created myself as a brand. And then that takes me to Creative Wealth Solutions, where we have our tax preparation as well as bookkeeping, accounting, and business development for those who are interested in becoming executive CEOs. And we're also a liaison with really all of these brands. We have an executive Rolodex where if someone needs a service that we may not provide, we have someone there. Like, you do real estate and business credit, you have some other talents and skills that you offer. Like, if someone needs you, instead of us trying to be an island, we connect those dots. So that's pretty much what has allowed for my businesses to become self-sufficient, and where I'm able to still hold multiple hats, but not necessarily have to be actively involved with the day-to-day activities. So, you know, I just got back from Orlando, and, you know, everything just runs itself. I utilize a lot of systems so that I'm able to just be on the beach. I can, if I want to sleep in late, I can, or if I want to shut it down early, then I can do that. And, you know, I build a team. And then finally, the last one is, of course, a newer venture dealing with Surge 365 with travel. And that's wholesale. Since I love to travel, I now have access as a platinum member to wholesale pricing on cruises and timeshares and different things of that nature. So I'm actually leveraging that when it comes to when I, you know, doing my retreats and being able to mark up those access points to me. So it all works. It all works together so that I can have the lifestyle that I really want to live, which is making money without even leaving my house.
Well, I'm going to call you Miss comma, comma, comma. You're like, oh yeah, I do this business, comma, and I also do this business, comma. That's what's up, LaToya. That's very impressive, being that you're a serial entrepreneur. So I assume it's vital for you to make these companies self-sufficient so it doesn't demand so much of your time. Like you mentioned, it's all about your lifestyle. Whether you want to sleep in or wake up early, it's up to you to decide. So that brings us to our next question. Being that you're a serial entrepreneur, how do you manage it all and make all of these other businesses self-sufficient?
Well, first, you have to focus on one business venture at a time. When I first got started, I had so many ideas, and I found myself not being successful in any because I was trying to accomplish one or two things in two different business divisions, I call them, that it made me feel as though I was not accomplishing anything. So the first thing is to focus on one business venture at a time. Get yourself a journal. When you have ideas that have absolutely nothing to do with this business that you're focused on currently, just write it in your journal. Secondly, have a business plan. Get a template, SBA.gov. There's so many templates out there that you can create some guide. You know, what's your mission? What's your vision? Who's your target market? Who's your target client? Why are you doing it? You know, what hurts you? And that's usually the why. You know, most people do what they do because they experienced it. You know, I deal with wealth conversations, I call them, because I was doing very well at one point or another, and then I just kind of messed it up. And so I speak about money because I know what triggers a person to get irresponsible with it. You know, so focus in on one thing, understand what that business plan looks like, stick to the business plan as much as you can, but evolve as well. So the business plan is going to evolve according to what you like to do, and that's okay, but don't keep going back to the drawing board. Like the third thing would be allow for a plan to play itself out. You know, allow yourself to fail would be the fourth thing, and then master that. And then once you're able to know your business inside and out, but here's the deal, perfection does not produce profits. So if you try to perfect a business model before allowing for someone to come in and help you with operating the business model, you'll never be able to get to the point where you have multiple streams of revenue or multiple streams of income. You'll always be actively involved in the day-to-day activities. So yes, you want to have a business plan. Yes, you want to have an operational manual, right, of what you would do day in, day out. Like I have an operations manual, so even if something fatal would happen to me, one, I have a T-man policy, so there's insurance that's going to take care of the business and its debts as well as, you know, the proceeds. It can continue to go on, but most importantly, there's an operations manual so that my legacy, my businesses can continue because our vision, you know, is by 2020 to actually transform the lives of over 100,000 families and businesses. And in order to do that, someone needs to be able to pick up a manual, pick up some type of guide, and keep it going. So that's another thing. I think a lot of new entrepreneurs, when they get started, they're just kind of doing it themselves. Write out what those tasks look like. Do a task analysis. When you first wake up, what do you do? Someone will say, well, I check my email. Okay, what email accounts do you check? Oh, I check my Gmail. I check my brand email. I check this. I check that. Okay, great. What are the username and passwords for those? All of that needs to be included in this manual because if something happens to you, we need to be able to continue going. Do you go to the bank every day or do you just go on Tuesdays and Thursdays? when people are paying you, are they going to pay via invoice, or are we using an electronic processor in order to take payment? And then here's the deal. When you understand the components of your business at that moment, then you go and you hire people like virtual assistants, or you get softwares like 17 Hats and create your different workflow and project management system, so that you are just putting out content, but it's on an automated basis. I tell people all the time, you have to get to the point of automating your business. Once you structure it within the first 3 months, your business should be automated. I mean, it's really no excuse because of the way technology is. So that would be probably my advice for a person to get into the flow of having a self-sufficient business.
Excellent. So one thing that you mentioned that was striking, you said that you should start one thing at a time. So I have people that I know personally as well as through social media, Latoya, and they have this frustration. Hey, well, what if you like many things? What if I enjoy gardening? I want to do that as a business. I enjoy writing, so I want to be an author. I want to run that business. I enjoy many different things. How can someone determine, hey, I'm going to start with this one single business and then move to the next? How can I make that determination to decide the first one?
So what I did was I had to look at really who was following me at the time, because our clients have seasons. So one, you really need to understand who you want to work with. And some people say, well, I want to work with everyone. I have something that everyone can use. Okay, well then, who don't you want to work with? Let's start there then. When you identify who you don't want to work with, then it becomes now a little simpler to pinpoint the types of client, what we call avatars or client profiles, that what you have to offer, no matter if it's those various things that you just mentioned, what are those clients? Now, you may have a client avatar that's into the gardening, right, that's into your coaching side, but they may not be into the fact that I do taxes. You know, so I know that during tax season, these particular client avatars are not my clients, right? When I speak or when I'm marketing, they may not bite. When I'm casting, they may not be in the net when I pull it in. So that is going to be very important, of understanding who is following you and what are their needs in the season that you're in. And then you can't look at what everyone else is doing. Because you could launch a product. I remember when I first got started, I launched this product called the Financial Wealth Clinic. And it was a DIY product that helped people to, module one was grabbing all of the bills that you hadn't opened the envelope for and opening the envelope and then sorting them. Like, that was a module. But that helped people. Like, that got people to a point. Like, there was no other programs that were really, like, getting people to that point. You know, like getting them to a point of realization that they were ready to be debt free. And so in the midst of that, instead of me keeping up with that, what I ended up doing was I lost focus because I was looking at the other person that was in another person or this person or that person that was in the same field, and they were launching this and they were launching that. But those were their clients. Those were their clients' needs at the time. My clients needed what I was bringing to the table. But instead of me knowing that and embracing that, I abandoned them. I abandoned that following. And I went over here trying to get a piece of this trending pie, what I thought was trending. And so you really want to focus in on who is following you right now. What are their needs? Do a survey. Do different catchy types of posts. If you like to do so many different things, like I do this thing called Cooking with T. Rose. I have a lot of people that actually enjoy that personality. However, I can't saturate my brand with Cooking with T. Rose because I talk about wealth and money and business development. You know, that's fun. However, I don't want my people to get confused on, but I position you to make money and to be profitable, you know. So that would probably be the best way to narrow down how to focus. It's in knowing that it is in season.
Oh, that was very descriptive. I appreciate that. That's very good information, Latoya. So my question is this. So let's say a person took action on your advice. They stuck with one thing and they got it self-sufficient, and they start another business and so forth, similar to what you've done. How can a person manage all that? Meaning, how do you do it? How do you determine, okay, I need to devote X amount of hours on this. I use this software to notify me to check a bowl in this business and so forth, just to make sure that none of those streams of income gets dried up as a result of, oh, I'm just too busy. I got way too much on my plate right now.
That is perfect. That's a perfect question. Well, as a CEO, as an executive CEO, you're always looking at your numbers. Well, first of all, you have to plan. You plan the work and then you work the plan. So remember we talked about, we focused on this one, we mastered it, we were able to get it self-sufficient. But you always know that there's a time, right? So the government, their fiscal year is October to September 30th every year. While you have others where it's, you know, July 1 to June 30th. So what is your fiscal year? That's very important. When you realize if your fiscal year is going to be January 1 to December 31st of every year, whatever that fiscal year is, now you're saying to yourself, one, you want to look at those numbers weekly so that you can see what's working and what's not. Monthly, you want to be able to say, okay, our plan was to launch this product or to keep this particular campaign going. If you're checking the numbers here during its current month, if it's not really working well, then you need to be able to respond and not react. See, reacting would be to say, we're going to do a campaign for quarter two, and we're going to sell this particular product, and we're going to target it to this particular group of people. And then after the 6 week, trying to go back and look at the numbers and seeing that the whole campaign didn't work and you're scraping to pay for the operational tools that you need for the business. So as a CEO, and you know, me, I focus on executive CEOs. As executive CEOs, we can't react. We have to respond. And what that looks like is you're putting the systems in place, yes. However, you're always going to be reviewing those numbers, those statistics, that data, those analytics. You want to know what's working, and you want to make sure that you hire people who are looking, who know how to interpret those reports to alert you as well. But again, it goes back to some of our business owners and entertainers who, you know, they hire people on because they just want to be a creative. And then years go by and now they're in tax trouble and now they have to file bankruptcy. So you have to respond and not react. And that would be my greatest advice to someone, is always check your numbers. What's not working, then adjust accordingly. And then the stuff that is working, don't discontinue it, right? You might even be able to adjust the price, inflate the price. And then another thing I'm going to say this, if you're looking at your numbers and things aren't working, I'm going to tell you why. 9 times out of 10, you may have priced yourself too low, and your client, your ideal client, they feel as though it's insulting for them to pay you at like a discount like that. Case in point, when I first got started, I wondered like why no one would want to schedule a coaching call with me. Well, I was given 90 minutes away for 35 minutes. So, you know, someone looks at that. Now, some people who followed me on social media, they were like, oh, that's great. I get enough time. But my ideal client was like, that's too much of time with her, and I'm only paying her 35. I feel guilty for that. So your ideal client really doesn't need a discount to work with you. And the other thing is you have to realize that there's a standard, and you have to set that standard. And your clients are going to react or respond to you accordingly. So check your numbers and then price yourself so that you can have the lifestyle where you're able to just be on the beach and or you're able to sleep in.
Excellent, excellent. So next question for you, LaToya. Let's say, for example, we have that listener out there. They have a business that's not self-sufficient. It's operating, but not self-sufficiently. And it constantly takes up so much of that business person's time. What do you advise them to do? Should they just cut their losses or just pour additional resources into that business?
9 times out of 10, they have not been monitoring their activity. They're just spontaneously being in business. And so I would tell them to get focused on their operations, and I would tell them to develop their operations manual, and I would tell them to go and look at that their profit and loss statement. If they haven't reconciled their books, I would tell them to either do it or hire someone like myself or someone in my company to help them with reconciling their books. I would also tell them that they would want to hire themselves a financial coach, someone who, a business financial coach, someone who can help them stay on track. Because honestly, in order for you to be self-sufficient, you got to be making money, because a lot of these tools cost. You have to pay someone to help you operate. Self-sufficiency basically means that you have it becomes a passive income activity. That's what, when I think of self-sufficiency in business, that's what I'm looking at. I'm looking at the fact that I have minimal monitoring to do. So if one is not seeing, if they've been in business more than 6 months and there's no systems in place, then they definitely need to find that person, that coach, that person who specializes in helping them get organized and putting those systems in place according to their budget. Because there's some free tools out there. There's free versions of tools like 17 Hats. I just found one yesterday. Percolate. You got Gumroad. Gumroad is amazing. You have PayHip. You have Stripe. You have MoonClerk. You have these systems that have free versions or really, really inexpensive versions to help you put those automations in place. But you really got to sit down and see what it is that your business is involved in and then set that system up.
Excellent. Has there ever been a business in which you severed ties with? And if so, why?
You mean one of my own businesses?
Yes. Like, let's say, for example, you came across a situation where you thought you were passionate about it and you lost interest, or something better came along, or you said, hey, this is just, there's no demand for this product no more. Let's say it's been antiquated, you know, it's obsolete now. Let me move to something different. I'm just curious to see if you had any situation like that.
Most definitely. Every entrepreneur has. Actually, in 2009, I was with my sorority sister, and that was the year when the summertime, the heat was just amazing. And people were literally, like, athletes were dying from heat exhaustion. And so what I ended up doing, I was in my master's program, and I remember taking out a student loan. And I took that student loan money because my tuition was paid for with the scholarship. But I took that loan money, and I ordered inflatables. And my vision, or our vision at the time, was to have these air-conditioned inflatables that would be right there on the field to help combat heat exhaustion. It ended up being just so cumbersome that, you know, trying to speak with the manufacturers and then, you know, the licensing, and mind you, I was still doing my master's. Could it work? Possibly. But for me, it just seemed like a market that I was going to have to really work towards. And then the other thing was, it wasn't necessarily my dream. I just knew how to visualize it and put it together. And sometimes when you're partnering with people who maybe they're overly ambitious about it, and you may not be as ambitious about it, you kind of lose that passion. So, I ended up just writing off. I didn't even sell. I sold it for a dollar, you know, the tents, the AC units, the whole nine yards, the coolers, like we had a whole setup, because it just really wasn't. It really wasn't anything that I necessarily just really, I didn't really want to be a part of that, because I couldn't, it wasn't something that I physically could do myself if someone didn't show up. And so I feel like I like to have businesses that if people are sick or can't show up or whatever the case may be, I can step in and it can still flow.
I agree with you on that, LaToya. It's very rare for someone to expose both qualities. They're the visionary as well as the operational person, the manager, the person who can carry out the vision. And if you can do both, you know, that requires a level of commitment as well as passion. But if you're the visionary, oh, yeah, I see a need, I see a demand, I want to fulfill it, but you're not passionate about it, or you don't have someone on your team who can bring that vision to pass, and they too are not involved with you, then that business will sooner or later fizzle out and die. And I had a similar situation happen to me. I had a great idea, saw the man. Then when the rubber hit the road, I realized this is not for me. I don't want to be doing all this legwork. I don't like this. And then end up just dying. All right, so LaToya, I have a few more questions to you, but I believe you're giving some great content to our listeners, and we greatly appreciate your time once more. But what is your best piece of advice to new entrepreneurs?
Oh, wow. My best piece of advice would be to know your numbers. Know how much it costs you to operate your business. Know how much it's going to cost you to launch that product. Know how much it's going to cost you to deliver upon that product. Know how much revenue that you're going to bring in or cash flow that you're going to have. Know your numbers. Do not run away from them. Do not wait until the end of the year to calculate your expenses and your revenue streams, because honestly, the end of your fiscal year, it's too late. It's challenging, because what's going to happen is if you wait, if you go the whole year, you ran from your numbers, and then you get into depression mode of, well, it didn't work. I failed myself. And then what happens is you may or may not plan to be in business next year. If you plan not to, I'm telling you, don't switch to the, I'm not going to be in business. Just go back to this. If you ran from your numbers, then plan ahead for the year ahead of you, the business year ahead of you. Plan, project, reconcile your previous years so that you can know kind of what it would cost you to operate your particular business. But that's my greatest advice, is do not run from the numbers. Know your numbers at all times. Know your sales margins. Know what you brought in versus what's supposed to go out. There are various templates. You can go to score.org. They have various templates there for profit and loss statements that actually already have the figures in place. If you want something more automated, which I do, go to Wave App, so WAVEAPPS.com, and sync your business bank account. And then there's going to be a link on the left-hand side that's going to say chart of account. So if you have rent, if you have laundry, if you have costumes, if you have travel, lodging, whatever that looks like, go ahead and set your chart of accounts. And then it's similar to QuickBooks. Matter of fact, it's just like QuickBooks, a little easy, user-friendly, but it's free. And you can have as many accounts on it as you want. I actually use that for my bookkeeping clients. I just do. And so, because it's free. and then you can run reports. You can do everything, balance sheet, profit loss, all of that. You can even, for a very small portion, you can do your invoices through Wave Apps as well. And so know your numbers and keep up with those expenses and those revenues. That's my greatest advice, is know your numbers.
That's true, because investing in business is similar to a game, right? And if you're playing any game, you want to know your numbers. You want to know the points. You might want to know your stats to see your performance and seeing, hey, maybe we need to step our game up because we're losing in contrast, in comparison to our competition. So speaking of the game analogy, what's playing a bigger game to LaToya Rose?
So LaToya Rose is actually, by December the 31st, I will have 60 tax pros trained and working from home, and I will receive a cut or a percentage of what they prepare, what the revenue that they bring in. The other thing is, I'm building a team of travel power partners who we're basically going to leverage our wholesale pricing, and we're doing some business trainings in Dubai and in other international countries just to help people with traveling, but more importantly for us to now, be self-proclaimed what? International speakers, international trainers. And I'm just, like, my game plan is really to just continue to live life good. I just hired a money manager. He only works with millionaires. And although my bank account right now does not say millionaire, the fact that my activity is millionaire, he is helping me. He's basically doing for me what I do for my clients, but on a whole nother level because of the caliber of client that he is trained or has been groomed or has experience with coaching. So he's going to definitely help me within this next 12 months to my bank account being at that million dollar level. So that's what's basically next for my game plan, to continue to be a self-sufficient business and help others to do the same.
Excellent. And before we get into, how people can reach out to you and follow you and the products you offer, last question, who is that one person that influenced you to be an entrepreneur?
Wow. It would probably, Black Wall Street. I'm from Tulsa, Oklahoma. So every entrepreneur that is on Black Wall Street, including my father, my grandmother, who was a hairstylist, had her own hairstyling shack, I called it, in the backyard. Those people, those individuals who, that watermelon man, that man that sold, Mr. Cooper, who sold produce from, he brought it up from the country. Black Wall Street in Tulsa, Oklahoma. It's not just one person. It's those entrepreneurs that kept that going. Those are my inspirations to this day.
Perfect. All right. So we have 1 minute. It's your time to shine. 1 minute to discuss your product, services, businesses, and how to contact you.
Awesome. Well, you all can stay connected with me. You can go to my website, latoyarose.com. You can also check out my tax company. Go to www.taxfuel.com. If you'd like to speak business and you would like to have a consultation just to kind of talk about your goals, then please schedule some time on my calendar. You can go to latoyarose.com and we'll connect there. And then follow me on social media. I'm on Snapchat, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, fan page, and the like. My handle is @SpeakLatoyaRose, and I look forward to connecting with you.
All right. Thank you so much, Latoya. I appreciate your time once more and for sharing a wealth of knowledge and information, especially specifics about what apps to use and so forth. So, hey, guys, there you have it. Ms. Latoya Rose, she gave you the information and how to reach out to her. So, as always, this is to your success. Continue to earn passively and live passionately.
Hey, what's up, guys? Hopefully you enjoyed this podcast and received a ton of value. Speaking of value, you'll definitely receive even more when you subscribe to our website. Not only do you receive the 24 tools we use to help us with our real estate, business, and credit repair needs, but you'll also get access to our free webinars that's designed for Q&A, as well as for credit repair, business credit, a ton of information. So make sure you subscribe to 100%finance.com. Check out our products on credit repair, ink removal, real estate coaching, and especially business funding, and many more. Check us out, 100%finance.com. Peace.